Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are, and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States, and all the way around the world. I am glad you decided to set aside these minutes together so that we can again discover who the first man and the first woman were. They who resided in the perfect garden God had made for them in the land called Eden. Now, we've been building this profile of Adam and Eve for a few days now, and we'll proceed now with our second insight. The first man and woman were made in the image of God. They were God's image bearers. As part of being made in the image of God, they were, and we are, living personal beings, relational beings, and emotional beings. And now fourth, they were, and we are, intellectual beings. John MacArthur and Richard Mayhew write, quote, "Man has a rational mind. He is aware of himself, his environment, others, and God. He can think critically and logically. He possesses memory, imagination, creativity, and language skills for communicating and understanding the thoughts of others." End quote. Now, this is very true, isn't it? I believe Adam and Eve were very smart, intelligent people. They had to be. They were made perfect, just like the rest of God's creation. While you and I are not perfect, in fact, very far from it, while we are sinners through and through, still, we also have intellect. God has given us minds, and we use them countless times a day and night to think. Now, you might say, well, I am not intellectual. I am not well-educated. I do not have a college or university degree. Well, so what? You still have a mind. My friend, you have a mind, and God gave it to you such that you will use it to honor Him by thinking about Him. We certainly do not need to be intellectuals to use our intellect for God. In fact, most of the world's supposedly smartest people are the dumbest on the single most important decision they can make with their rational mind, to put their full faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. They've outsmarted themselves deciding against the Lord. A high percentage of the supposedly intellectual do not even think God exists. How dumb. God calls this foolishness. Psalm 14, verse 1. Psalm 14, 1. I have been to college, to university, and the seminary for that matter, and believe me, having a degree or multiple degrees is no guarantee of using the intellect well. But we all have an intellect. And again, this fits because God made us in His image, and God absolutely has the perfect intellect. There are many incredible aspects to the intellect of God, but let's not get too far off our current focus. Let me discipline myself and take you to just one New Testament scripture to demonstrate to you from the Bible that God has a perfect mind, and that having such an intellect, He graciously gave each of us one as well. I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that He will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 2:16, which is actually a quote from the book of Isaiah. And you heard what the Apostle Paul said of God, the mind of the Lord. God's mind is so perfect that how would any of us ever think we could instruct Him? But I love how Paul adds, we have the mind of Christ. That means we Christians can use our intellect, our rational minds, to think the thoughts of Christ. In fact, in Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth in our Bibles, he says that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. I'm using 1 Corinthians 2:16 to demonstrate that God has an intellect, and being made in His image, people do as well. Adam and Eve did, and so do we. And we should all use our intellect in relation to the living God. The Christians really ought to be the leading intellectuals of our day. And I thank God that within the global church family, we have many. And this is true not only now, but throughout the history of the church. I'm thinking today of Ravi Zacharias, who was recently separated from the body, so that he is now, as we speak, present with the Lord. The way he used the intellect that God gave him is a rich and lasting blessing to those of us still here, faithfully convincing others about the truth claims of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Of course, Ravi is one example. God has and will raise up many others. And you and I are not Ravi, but God is not calling us to be anyone other than ourselves. We also have an intellect, and so let us use it to have the mind of Christ. Wherever God has placed you, let your mind be transformed by the Lord, and use your rational mind to please Him. Have a vast and Spirit-filled imagination. Be creative. Write, paint, speak, act. If you will do this, you will have accomplished God's purpose in your life. God has an intellect. We have an intellect because we are made in the image of God. I told you I have 5 insights into what it means that man and woman are made in the image of God. Let's quickly review these and then get to the 5th and final one. Being made in the image of God, we are personal living beings. A second, we are relational beings. Third, we are emotional beings. Fourth, we are intellectual beings. And now 5th, we are volitional beings. What do I mean by volitional? I mean that the first man and woman and all people have a will. And with that will, we have the ability to make choices. Volition is using one's will. It has an act of making a choice or decision. Now here, on the matter of the will in men and women, we are both similar to Adam and Eve, and we are different. We are the same in that the first man and woman had a will, and we have a will. But sin really messes with volition, so there emerges a difference between our will and their will. On the matter of the freedom of the will, now don't worry, I'm not going to get into this today. In fact, I'm passing on this difference in Genesis 2. The proper place for a discussion on the freedom of the will is actually over in Genesis chapter 3. It should be obvious to you that you make choices every day. These are seemingly insignificant choices: what to have for dinner, what outfit to put on in the morning, to significant choices: whom to marry, what job to take. And of course, the biggest and most important choice of all: will you trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Well, as we make choices, as we discern what to do, as we have volition, this reflects on our Creator. God has a will, and since we are made in His image, we each have a will as well. Now, when it comes to God's will, this opens to us a vast discussion. We could spend months on the will of God, looking at His will in the Scripture from various perspectives. We can ask and answer a plethora of questions when it comes to the will of God, but let me be again disciplined. And for this, I will follow the skilled theology of Louis Burkhoff. In his book, Systematic Theology, he writes that, quote, "everything is derived from the will of God." As we have been studying, this applies to creation. Listen to Psalm 135, verse 6. "Whatever the Lord pleases, He does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deeps." Psalm 135, 6. And one of my favorite scriptures, Revelation 4, verse 11, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." That was Revelation 4, 11. Burkhoff continues saying that God's will applies to human government. Listen to Daniel 4, verse 35. This is the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 35. "All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but God does according to His will, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" According to the Bible, everything is derived from the will of God, even the suffering of Christ and the Christian. Jesus Christ suffered according to the will of God. Jesus acknowledges this himself in his powerful prayer before the crucifixion, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." That's Luke 22, verse 42. And Christians suffer according to the will of God. Here is 1 Peter 3, verse 17. "For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong." 1 Peter 3:17. The suffering of Christ and the Christian are all derived from the perfect will of holy and sovereign God. God has a will. And being made in the image of God, each of us has been given a will as well. We are volitional beings. In fact, as Christ's people, we want God's will for us. In the prayer the Lord taught us to pray, he said, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Oh, how many times we have prayed just that, seeking the will of God. This is what it means to be made in the image of God. Tomorrow we will move ahead to a third insight into this profile of this first man and woman in the garden in Eden. I want to leave you with all of the scripture references I used today so you can read these on your own. 1 Corinthians 2:16, 2 Corinthians 10:5, Psalm 135:6, Revelation 4:11, Daniel 4:35, Luke 22:42, 1 Peter 3:17, and Matthew 6:9 through 10. I hope that you will join me again tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.